I just want to very briefly read a statement from another friend of the Schiller Institute who couldn't be here today. Brigadier General John Johns retired. He's been an outspoken critic of all of the recent wars. He and General Robert Gard wrote a major piece in the New York Times several years back when it looked like we were about to go to war with Iran and just simply said, do not do it. General John sent a paper, a lecture that he recently gave down in Virginia, and he asked that I just read a very brief quote from it, which is very much in line with the Schiller Institute tradition and spirit and also with the presentations you've heard today. It's actually from a former U.S. senator named Carl Schurz, who was the first German-born American citizen later to be elected to the United States Senate. He was a general in the Union Army during the Civil War, later in the Senate, later was the Interior Secretary, and at the time of the Spanish-American War, he delivered the following brief statement. He said, "The man who, in times of popular excitement, boldly and unflinchingly resists hot-tempered clamor for an unnecessary war and thus exposes himself to the opprobrious imputation of a lack of patriotism or of courage to the end of saving his country from a great calamity is as to lovingly and faithfully serving his country at least as good a patriot as the hero of the most daring feat of arms and a far better one than those who, with the ostentatious pretense of superior patriotism, cry for war before it is needed, especially if they let others do the fighting." Several of us had the opportunity earlier this past week to sit with Congressman Walter Jones in his office before he briefly recorded the statement that you're about to see. And, George, do we have those pictures as well? Don't worry about it then. As we were sitting there, he held up a number of very large posters that he had used several days earlier to deliver a presentation before the House of Representatives. It was a five-minute privileged speech. And one of the posters was a picture of a cartoon of Uncle Sam with the famous statement, "Uncle Sam wants you." But the rest of the sentence was, "Uncle Sam wants you to realize that if you can't afford to provide benefits for your veterans, then you can't afford to fight wars." And he had... He had several other photographs that he, again, showed on the floor of the House. These are children of one of the soldiers who was brought back in a body bag from Afghanistan recently, having been killed by one of the Afghan soldiers he was training. And he's just reached the point of absolute frustration that there's no basis for sustaining a single additional American life lost for a war that was a horrible folly to begin with and must end. And the same was true for Iraq. And he certainly has the view that no future war should be permitted, particularly without full consultation and approval of Congress, which under the present circumstances would not happen. So without any further ado, George, if you've got Walter Jones's greetings to this Schiller Institute conference, and then we'll go right from there into Terry Strada, and then we'll have the last speaker on this panel.
I'm Walter Jones. I represent the 3rd Congressional District of North Carolina in the United States House of Representatives. I'm pleased today to share some thoughts with you who are attending the Schiller Institute 30-Year Anniversary Conference, and I cannot think of a better title to be discussing than "It is Time to Create a World Without War." So thank all of you who are in attendance, and let me share a few thoughts with you. I have joined Stephen Lynch and Thomas Massie. Stephen Lynch is a congressman from Massachusetts, and Thomas Massey from Kentucky and myself have joined in a letter to President Obama written on April the 10th. And I'll read the first paragraph, no, the first sentence to you. Let's just make it short. We write today to urge you to declassify the 28 redacted pages of the joint inquiry into intelligence activities before and after the terrorist attack on September of 2001. How can you have a democracy or a republic and not have sunshine in your government? And I, quite frankly, have read the 28 pages. So has Stephen Lynch and Thomas Massey and a few other members of Congress in both parties have taken the time to read the 28 pages. We had a news conference several months ago, and we brought the families in who have lost loved ones. If the president could just see the pain in the eyes and the words of those family members, then hopefully he would declassify these 28 pages. The 28 pages has nothing to do with national security. If it did, I wouldn't be speaking to you today. It does not. It talks about relationships in the international world that we live in and who we can trust and not trust. And I would encourage you today, as you leave the conference over the next couple of days, to contact your members of Congress and ask them to look seriously at H. Resolution 428, which was introduced by Congressman Stephen Lynch, Democrat from Massachusetts, Congressman Walter Jones, Republican from the 3rd District of North Carolina, and ask that member of Congress to do what is right for the families of 9/11. When you have people like Senator Bob Graham, who for years, ever since he's left the Senate, has been calling on the president and all the president and the senators and the House members to declassify these 28 pages. The families deserve to know what's in the 28 pages, and the American people do as well. There is no democracy, there is no republic, without the American people knowing the truth about 9/11. Thank you.
George, you have it there? Okay, great.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me today, and I apologize for not being able to appear in person. Today is Father's Day. It is a day in my home we reflect on what we have lost, honor my late husband Tom, and celebrate who he was as a person, a devoted family man with a charismatic smile and a love for the great outdoors. My name is Terry Strada. I am the national co-chair, along with Sharon Premley, of the 9/11 Families United for Justice Against Terrorism. Our group consists of over 6,500 victims, family members, and survivors from the tragic terrorist attacks that occurred here in America on September 11, 2001. Like thousands, my husband was brutally murdered on 9/11. Just 4 days after we brought home our third child, Justin. Our other two children were 7 and 4 years old. Tom worked in the North Tower of the World Trade Center as a partner with a firm called Cantor Fitzgerald. On September 11, 2001, it was clear from the beginning what had happened. 4 commercial airplanes were hijacked. Pilots, flight attendants, and passengers were cruelly murdered, and the planes were used as missiles to crash into our landmarks and murder innocent souls. They attacked capitalism by destroying the World Trade Center. They attacked our defense by slamming into the Pentagon. And they were headed for our nation's capital to kill our government officials. It is likely that the lives of many members of Congress were spared that day by the brave passengers on Flight 93 who valiantly tried to take over the controls of that fateful flight. When the smoke cleared and the fires were extinguished, Along with the carnage left behind, three questions remained. Who attacked us? Why did they attack us? And how were they able to carry out such a multifaceted plot that took years to plan, train for, and implement? Some of the answers to these questions lie in the redacted 28 pages of the joint inquiry into intelligence activities before and after the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, that were signed into secrecy by former President George Bush and remain hidden from the American people. Today I would like to speak to who was behind 9/11 and how were they able to attack us. Contrary to what our government allowed us to believe, Al-Qaeda did not act alone. Long before 9/11, there was a complex financial network of wealthy individuals, banks, and so-called charities, referred to as the Golden Chain, established to give financial aid, material, and logistical support to the 19 hijackers. This intricate web of money leads to mainly one source, Saudi Arabia. The 19 terrorists who carried out their heinous acts of violence and murder on 9/11 first met in faraway places and then traveled to our country and joined people already here waiting for their arrival. They quietly blended into our culture and remained under the radar. For nearly 2 years, they lived amongst us. They rented apartments, cars, and took very expensive flying lessons. They traveled first class, stayed in hotels, ate in restaurants, shopped, and frequented expensive bars. They barely spoke English. So how did they obtain driver's licenses and find their housing? They did not work, yet they could buy food, clothing, and health club memberships. They were flush with cash and bought those first-class airline tickets to learn our aviation security practices, or should I say, our lack of security. From Los Angeles and San Francisco, California, to Little Falls, Virginia, and Sarasota, Florida, the 9/11 operatives were supported through an established network of handlers and enablers, likely named and many more not named in those redacted 28 pages. The same infrastructure that was set in place prior to 9/11 still exists today. We have no reason whatsoever to believe these cells were ever dismantled. In fact, we believe they are still in place, financed by the same bankrollers of the 9/11 attacks. One thing is clear. The common thread that runs through all terrorist attacks around the globe, including 9/11, is the money that finances them and the source of that money. Our organization, the 9/11 Families United for Justice Against Terrorism, has been fighting for justice, accountability, and the truth over the past decade. We want to cut off the flow of money, the lifeblood of terrorism, and thwart future terrorist attacks against Americans here and abroad. We want to stop the bloodshed and the sacrifices our troops make each and every day since 9/11. Is it possible that after years of war, we will never know who financed the terrorist attacks here that prompted this declaration of endless war? Terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda operate in a cloak of darkness. While they depend on secrecy and silence in order to grow and spread, they cannot operate without the massive sums of money it takes in order for them to exist, not just in the far-flung places of the world, but here in America as well. We agree with Congressmen Jones, Lynch, and Massey and completely support their efforts to shine light on the truth. The truth has been withheld from us, the 9/11 families, the survivors, and from you, the American people, long enough. Timely declassification of the 28 pages is essential for our national security. It is declassification that will actually protect us, not endanger us. We need to know who our real enemies are. As long as those pages remain hidden, we will continue to be proxies in the wars of those who are the subject of the 28 pages, and they will remain with impunity to repeat themselves again and again. While I am not able to answer all the questions raised since 9/11, we demand to know who really was behind 9/11. They must be exposed, stopped, and punished for their crimes against humanity that took place here on American soil, or we will never be safe. As long as radical Islamic ideology that fuels hatred towards the United States continues and terrorists remain committed to killing Americans, we will never be safe. And as long as the pipeline of money that flows freely from the actors into the hands of terrorist organizations like Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, and the newest and possibly most frightening of all, ISIS, we will never be safe. Again, our group of over 6,500 victims, family members, and survivors support Representatives Jones, Lynch, and Massey's introduction of House Resolution 428. And for that, we thank them with gratitude. I ask all of you to take action now and join us in our quest for the truth. I would also like to ask you to please visit our website, www.justiceagainstterrorism.org. There you will find how easily it is to contact members of Congress and also learn about the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, JASTA. There is a petition you can sign in support of JASTA. Read further about House Resolution 428 and learn about an important Freedom of Information Act lawsuit filed against the FBI in Florida regarding the Sarasota Saudis suspected of having 9/11 ties. Thank you.